Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
I'm sorry.
I am a working man.
I'm sorry, you're kind of listening to Live from the Path.
Welcome.
Oh, man.
Good stuff.
Anyway, thanks for hanging out. Sorry. Running technical difficulties. My name is Ben Foos. You listen to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. It's good to see you tonight. I'm glad that you're hanging out with us. I'm privileged to hang out with you, so are the fellows in the studio, and the wonderful Tessa Johnson, who is in here with us tonight.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Scoot on up to that mic there or drag it toward you, just so we can delight in your vocal tones. Here's what we got going on the show tonight.
You never delight in my vocal tones. So.
We don't want to.
Your vocal tones are not delightful.
Dang.
Here's what we got going on the show tonight. We're going to get to know Tessa a little bit, find out what's going on in her world, hear a couple tunes, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
I Facebook creeped.
Yeah.
So I had an idea what was coming.
It's the only way to do it anymore. If you try to legitimately, like, hey, I'm just checking you out, they're like, whatever, dude. You know what I'm saying? It's better just to kind of get in, get out. Because here's the deal. What if I checked it out and I didn't like it? And they're like, hey, what'd you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like to lie either digitally or face-to-face, so I feel like it's better just to kind of swoop in and then out you go.
For sure.
I think it's just creeping because the two of you. I think you're just creepy dudes.
What do you mean? Just because I sit on the edge of my seat and run the mouse like an old man?
I just visit someone's page.
Oh.
No, when I creep, like, I don't want people to know, like, how creepy I get. I'm like... looking at their stuff.
Yeah.
All their pictures. I mean.
Did you ever freak out like you accidentally liked something?
Then
you're
yes,
like, oh, man.
I've done that before. And it's
two and
so
a half years ago.
No. It's awful.
Yep. Note to self, don't accept Tessa Johnson's friend request. likes on photos from like 2007.
Seriously,
really
you will. Yeah, no.
Actually, it's almost better just to accept it. That way you know what she's doing.
That was a baby picture.
I remember when you were four.
I remember I had accepted a friend request from somebody from high school, and like we were not buddies or anything, but they went to my high school, right? And so I accepted this friend request, and then like 3 weeks later there's a weird random like from 2009 or something. Like
oh man,
gross. They looked at everything.
They saw it all.
That A shirt was a bad idea. I'm a married man. I don't know why it was so embarrassing, but you're like, someone's creeping on your stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, you're listening to Live Path. So we're going to get to know Tessa Johnson. We're going to hear from her a little bit, hear about what she's got coming up, what goes on in her life besides Facebook creeping, and a little bit of music.
Yep.
That's what we're after. We're also going to do some Dear Life in the Path. Mike, you got one?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, no. Pope, you got some Pope style.
Yep.
Okay, I got some Pope style.
Okay, good. You go first.
No, I'm not going to give it yet. So we'll do some Pope style advice under the – this is – the premise here is that someone has shown up on your lawn and is mistaken you for the Pope. In fact, masses of people, 1,000 folks.
Happens to me all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Do you, okay, Tessa might have
– that might be a mob of people for your Facebook creeping activities. The We Had Enough,
stop
Tessa.
Looking.
It's probably the actual Pope.
We're supposed to see that picture.
You creeping on me?
Dude, does the Pope have a bunch of personal candid shots of himself? Have like a milk mustache?
Pope's doing a selfie. Just kind of like,
that would be awesome if he's got like a milk mustache out of a really fancy goblet that he's been drinking out of. He goes, I don't know. This happens to everybody, right?
Selfie.
So we'll do some Pope style advice. So basically, to get this mob of people out of your lawn, you have to give some sort of advice like the Pope does when he comes out on that little platform and he talks to people. That's what will get him to go away. But it has to be a relevant piece of advice to your life. None of this pompous, like, coming outside and, like, ditching out random proverbs or something.
Bring smoke with you.
It has to mean something. Yeah. So we'll do some of that. We'll also do – we got some Dear Life from the past. People need help, Mike.
Yeah. You know, here's the deal. Some of them are a bit iffy. But that's what we do. We look at life head on and we tackle it, like they say in Proverbs.
Dan?
Do they say that in Proverbs?
Anyway, we tackle it right ahead of time.
And then Solomon tackled it.
Because we believe in the Bible.
That's the New Way version.
As always, you guys hanging out on the chat, please feel free to ask questions or otherwise interact with the show. If it's good, I'll say it. If it's not good, I'll ignore it. So you can judge what I think is good by what I say. You two fellas, and you know who I'm talking about, I will be ignoring you most of the night. Also, if you're listening along on 99.3 KTIA, thanks for checking us out. Make sure you listen to the live show Monday nights at 10 o'clock, where you can participate participate in that chat and I could ignore you as well? I won't do that.
No, but there is a chat function if you like to get your 2 cents worth in. That's something like to the effect of, this is not the best show you've ever done.
Yeah.
Or, I kind of like it, but I had to pee and then my internet connection got taken out. I've heard both. Ooh. And so both are legitimate reasons to watch the Monday Night Show.
Nothing moves a social mountain like chatting along with an internet radio program. Yeah,
exactly. And here's the deal. We can't see your face, right? So you could take on a whole different identity. If you're generally pretty mild-mannered, you can be a real jerk on that chat.
Yeah. Jerk Steve.
Yeah, and you could go under the handle of your brother-in-law or something. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
I make up all kinds of names for chat. Yeah.
What?
All right, let's get to know Tessa Johnson a little bit.
Yes.
Tessa, how did you get here? Tell me a little bit about yourself that explains your birth up to now.
Okay. So
lies.
I've seen your Facebook.
I creeped, you weren't born there.
Oh, great. Well, I'll tell you about how I started music. I grew up, my dad's been singing ever since I was little, and my brother's always been in music. So I always liked to sing, but I was always like way too shy. And I had, I just was a really nervous child and all through junior high. And then one day my mom heard me singing really softly in the other room because I had been taking piano lessons for years and I just learned a song. And she came in and she was like crying a little bit. She was like, "You're playing that for our whole family." And
wow.
I didn't, and I didn't want to, obviously, because I just didn't like crowds.
Plus,
and
she was crying already.
Yes.
That either means it's really good and the pressure's on, or it was terrible.
Or it was terrible. I still don't know to
Come
this
on,
day.
Mom.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. But so then she made me sing it for the family. And after that, I booked my first show. And I still to this day don't know why I did it. Because I was like,
yeah, manager at local establishment.
So
I just sang for my family.
My mama did, let me.
So,
I brought my mom to tears.
When do you want me here? When do you want me in? I'll give you the reduced rate. You know, it'll be $7,000, I guess.
start crying. I'll give you the family discount.
You make bold moves, Tessa. I like that.
I do, yeah. Yep, I do.
My dad loves it. I'll be in next week. I'll take the open mic.
About my first bus.
Yeah. I'm on tour right now, making tons of money.
Yeah,
so
are we. Please don't touch the goblets while you're in here. They're on loan. So you do have, like, if people wanted to go, now obviously you're going to play some tunes tonight, right?
Yeah.
And but if people wanted to go check out, do you have a web presence? Hold on. Is your maybe I didn't check them both out. Do you have like a musician's Facebook and then a personal Facebook, or is it all wrapped into one?
No, I got two Facebooks. My musician's Facebook is just called Tessa Johnson Music.
Uh-huh.
And otherwise my other one's just Tessa Johnson.
I can't,
plain
I don't know
and
who,
simple.
I don't know who I made friends with. I made friends with somebody.
Oh, it was definitely, I think it was mine.
Yeah.
My
see?
Personal.
Because
yeah.
we know each other.
Yeah, we
know. We're practically best friends.
We are.
Your mom asked me to come over that day, and I was busy. I had to work, so I didn't see her the first performance.
Oh, shoot.
She makes great food. So
yeah, that's what
out.
I heard. Man, yeah. I'm sorry, Mrs. Johnson. I'll get there next time.
Yeah.
And you can find that if you go facebook.com/Tessa Johnson Music. Pretty much what you'd expect it to be.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right on.
You can go out there and like that.
If it was /hoagies are the best, I feel like that's misleading.
So you can go out there, and there's events to there's links to photos and events that she has going on. If someone wanted to listen to music that you had online, can they get to it from there, or is there somewhere else they need to go?
Yes. I have links to my SoundCloud page on there, but if you can't find the link, it's just soundcloud.com/TessaJohnson-1. So,
ooh, that was almost a hoagie move.
It really was. The dash threw me off, but I couldn't change it. I was so upset.
You know what? I thought someone had, when I was trying to sign up for an email last time, someone had took my first and last name at hotmail.com. I'm like, where is this alter Mike Foost? That's why I started Googling people. I'm like, I want to find him. He's a maintenance manager in Milwaukee. And I saw a picture of him, and I feel like he can have it. Yeah, he might be twice the man I am.
Ooh, I wouldn't mess with that one.
He gets to keep it. The maintenance man, he'll put me in a boiler. He'll never find me. Anyway, congratulations on your SoundCloud.
Oh, thank you.
Pardon me.
Cool. Well, I tell you what. Let's before we learn any more. let's hear a tune. What do you have for us?
I'm going to play Parachute, which is available for free download on my SoundCloud page. So if you like it, then you can go download it.
Sweet. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is. Wait, so what's the song about? Did you write it?
Yes, I did write it. It's just basically about not letting yourself be fully there for someone because you're scared, and how to kind of break through that. So.
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah. This is for you. I wrote this for you.
This is like
Dan, this is
dedicated.
For you.
I absolutely adore how quickly Tessa jumped on Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
I was thinking of you.
Always ready to criticize.
This is
here,
really
so.
Going well.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, this is Parachute. You're listening to Tessa Johnson on Live from the Path.
I hear the ring of bells, a distant melody. And as they chime, I feel you smile and say you love me. And in this moment, I am home. In this moment, I am home in your arms. Change a scene, it's you and me, so close but far away. And in my head I'm making reasons why I should not stay. And I hope that you see through, oh, I hope that you see through my disguise. I'm growing tired of building walls and keeping us apart. Don't get too close or they will fall and expose my fickle heart. But I'm scared out of my mind that you will leave. Just please don't give up on me. Underneath the bluster, I am full of fragile things. It's all that I could muster not to turn and start running. Now my parachute has snapped, and I'm falling far too fast for you now. I'm growing tired of building walls and keeping us apart. Don't get too close or they will fall and expose my fickle heart. But I'm scared out of my mind that you will leave. Just please don't give up on me. I'm growing tired of building walls and keeping us apart. Don't get too close or they will fall and expose my fickle heart. But I'm scared out of my mind that you will leave. Just please don't give up on me.
Woo! Yeah!
Thank you! Thank you
Thanks
so
for dedicating
much.
That was
that. Awesome.
Yeah,
I love that
no
song. Here's the
Thank
thing.
You.
That song reminded me of something you'd see in a movie, right? And when you listen to it, I hear songs like that, and I think they know life better than me. Just by the song, just how the song goes, just like the lyrics and
yes.
just the tune, like the whole idea. And I'm like, I feel like they understand life more than I understand life because, like, the song encapsulates. I know so much of an idea and so much of a feeling that it just. I feel like they've been there, they've done it, and like. There's something I can learn from the tune. He didn't say anything for me to really learn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it was a really good song. I really liked it.
Thank you so much.
It's good.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm going to cry to it later, Bill. You know?
I was thinking that too. Like, I might have just gotten goosebumps. I can't tell.
Do this to everybody.
Download it later and cry to it.
We've all been the parachute. We've all been the parachute.
I'm just blubbering after. That was incredible.
Do you have a song called Pot Roast? Because I was at once. Well, cool. So make sure you can check.
And that's the one you can find on SoundCloud, right?
Yeah.
Free download.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to download it for free.
Hey,
you're not selling it. Are you selling it anywhere?
No.
I'd feel wrong
that's
if
free.
I got it for free, but.
No,
okay, good.
You got to get it for free.
Okay.
Got to get my music out there, you know?
Awesome. This was not the place to do it on the show, but still, I mean, other people will really enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
My mom will hear this.
Yeah, that's all I need.
That's a guarantee.
That's all I need. Moms share stuff, okay? Moms are great at sharing stuff.
That's true, and she'll probably share it because we're involved. She's like, oh, those boys had this lovely girl on the show the other day. Did I tell you those boys were on a radio show? Anyway, listen to this song because my boys are on it.
All right, Mom.
Mom, stop it.
There's a picture of one of them in their underpants.
I got it off their Facebook.
Mom, stop creeping my Facebook.
Mom, stop creeping my Facebook. I know you took the picture, but stop creeping.
So, yeah, you can find Tessa at facebook.com/TessaJohnsonMusic or go to the SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/TessaJohnson-1. Yes?
Yeah.
Awesome. And you can download that song for free.
I'm going to do it.
And this is probably the way I should have said it. After the show, you can go to livefromthepath.org and we'll post it.
Yeah, well, boys, you'll get the video. You'll get the whole feeling.
But we'll charge for it.
Yeah, no doubt. Good call.
Oh, for sure.
We need to make some money around here. This place is like a mobile home. All there is smells like dude and there's pop cans everywhere.
So what's coming up next in your world?
I have right now I'm currently writing for an EP that I'll record sometime in the near future. But coming up soon, I have a show on August 28th at the Gas Lamp, and it starts at 9 p.m. And I'm opening for this amazing band from Kansas City, so...
That's righteous.
Yeah. They do like folk, like Christian hymns. It's like really cool. I don't know. They have the coolest music.
Yeah, folk Christian.
They call it like folk core.
Wait a minute.
Like hardcore folk.
Are you friends with them?
Yeah. It's Mara and the Mainsail.
Can you get them on the show?
Hey.
We're not going to be able to secure them on our own.
Yeah, no, seriously. I'll say, hey, this is Mike from Life from the Path. And very much like every other band I contact, they'll go, okay. YouTube channel. Hey,
it's like a mobile home in there.
I bet it smells like dude.
Are those pop cans I see?
Boy, cool. That's at the Gas Lamp. That's downtown Des Moines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the old Blues on Grand, right?
Yeah, the old Blues on Grand. That's a 21. It's probably a 21 over show, right?
Yes.
21 over show. So that means if you're lame, you can't get in.
Wait, is there...
There's no age limit on the upper end, so if you're from Boca Raton or you can't drive anymore, give us a call. I'm sure we can come pick you up.
Taxi to the Gas Lamp.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it 21 over because it becomes vulgarity? Do your songs take over to vulgarity when they get in?
So much. Yeah. It's just filth the whole way through.
After 9:30.
When Mom goes to bed.
Yeah. It was so hard getting the extra syllables in before parachute.
Yeah. But, I tell my mom that I'm done with my set and she leaves and then I'm just like awful. She has no idea.
Now it's really parked.
She's crying because she knows what goes on in there.
That's right. I didn't raise you this way. I read about that Gas Lamp.
I'd be really interested to go get to that show. I'm going to throw it on the calendar. But if we can, maybe we'll touch base with you and see how it went. We'd like to keep in touch of kind of where you're at and what you're doing and how the music's going. So
of course.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little about this EP that you're writing, though. Like,
yeah.
Is there a particular mood to it? Do you feel like it's different than what you've done before?
I guess when I write, it's just like based on how my life has been in the past year or however long it's been. I even sometimes will write based on other people's problems. I've written a lot of songs inspired by my family.
That makes Facebook creepy. Absolutely.
Everybody thought
I actually looked through
that
everybody's photos and like, you need a brand new shirt.
She has seen my Facebook.
Yeah, songs are coming about all you guys. So get ready.
Great.
That's not funny. I knew it wasn't going to be.
So I just write based on what's going on in my life. And I met this great guy who's willing to produce some songs for me. And I'm super excited. I think it'll turn out great.
Heck, I'm excited. I've only heard one tune.
Hey, yeah,
that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what, let's do. We'll catch up with Tessa just a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And find out. We'll hear another tune and find out a little bit more about what's going on with you. Mike, Pope style.
No, you better do it.
Okay, Pope style advice. So, again, premise, people are on my lawn. They've considered me to be the Pope. They refused.
Just a second. Ben's long-winded. You might want to sit down.
Okay.
Yep.
This might be about you.
Anyway, people named Tessa in general.
The point of Pope style was, you got to get him off the lawn by giving him a piece of advice that is appropriate to your life, but it's, a legitimate piece of advice. Mm-hmm. And so here's what I was thinking this week. And I can't even remember where it spawned from, but I was feeling guilty about something or other, like something I'd heard, something I'd done, something I'd seen. I don't remember what it was. But there was guilt in me. And I thought, where does this come from? Is this a God? Yeah. Is this a God deal? And I thought, no, God doesn't do that. God doesn't do guilt, but God does certainly do truth. And a lot of times, I guess maybe my advice here is make sure you're defining guilt correctly and you're seeing it in the appropriate way. Because a lot of times what we call guilt is really just truth that we're refusing to deal with, right? Because if someone tells you something to improve your life, change your life, make it better, and you do it, you don't have an issue, right? You took truth, you changed based upon what was actually true, and then your life went on its merry way, right? But if someone tells you something and you simply don't want to do that, or you don't take action that they told you to take or that you learned based upon truth, you start to feel guilty about it. And that's what we label as guilt is basically truth that we don't want to act on or are incapable of acting on, I suppose, to be fair. And so it's inappropriate, I think, because sometimes what people will do is they'll take biblical truth, God-honoring truth, and they slap a guilt label on it. And then treat it as if it's something negative that's either coming from God, or well, they'll come and say, well, God doesn't do negativity like that, so that can't be God. Stop, you know, don't tase me, bro. You know, don't sass me with your guilt. And I thought, you know, that's a real cop out. That's a real way to kind of biff on God's truth is to try to label it as well, you know, you're trying to put the guilt on me, when really it's just God's truth. Like, change your ways, repent, and move on. Instead of sitting in it. And I think a lot of times where I see people or I talk to people that are like, you know, I'm feeling real guilty. I'm like, well, you're feeling guilty because you know what the truth is. You know what sin is in your life. You know what's going on that you need to change, and you still haven't done it. And like, that's just God's truth. It's not guilt.
Right. It's more it's of a truth. Just, right. It's an appropriate, it's an appropriate reaction to your stubbornness.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's conviction of the Holy Spirit weighing on you as you're trying to process, what am I going to do about it?
Right, right. You should feel that. However it is you're feeling that you're calling guilt is appropriate, yeah. And you should feel that way. But that doesn't mean God's a guilt dealer. Guilt, I think what they're trying to say, God doesn't deal in guilt. He doesn't want you to feel bad just to feel bad. That's not the point. He has truth to restore you to where he wants you to be, to live the life that he called you to lead. Mm-hmm. And it's that restoration part. You can either take God's truth and you can dwell on it and fight it, and that ends up being guilt, or you can use it as restorative, like repent and restore and live the life that God gave you. And so I guess what I would say is like, you know, if you're in your day-to-day life and you're running into things that you're feeling guilty for, the difference between guilt and restoration is what you did with it. Did you sit in it and dwell on it and not change anything about it? Or did you, you know, did you repent? Did you apologize? Did you, you know, did you straighten out whatever you're supposed to straighten out? Like, that's the difference. What did you do with the truth of the situation? You can either feel guilty or you can be restored, and choose restoration. Don't sit in the guilt. Like, it's a wasted emotion. It's a wasted time. And I don't know whatever it was in my life, but like I can be done with this. I can be done with it. I don't need to spend another second driving along thinking, well, maybe I should call so-and-so. You know what I did? I called so-and-so. And then it was taken care of. And so I think it's just how do you react to truth in your life? Do you sit in it and do you feel guilty about it? Or do you let the process of conviction allow you to be restored through it? And I think that's my Pope-style advice. Don't sit in your guilt. It's not a healthy emotion, and it's not from God. He gives you truth for restoration, not so you can sit in it. Like, everybody knows how bad you were. He had to send his son to die on the cross. That indicates bad.
Yeah.
You're already the low tier. You don't need any more of that. Like, that's already inherent. He's not trying to rub it in. He wants you restored. I think that's my Pope-style advice.
All right. I like it.
What do you got, Mike?
That was it?
Yeah.
I paused and didn't join in the conversation, and all you had was an affirmation?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now we're leaving Ben's lawn because we've gotten our fill of his advice. And
all the people are leaving.
We're excited to leave his place.
They felt guilty for being on my lawn.
We were convicted to be on his lawn. Now we're on our way to yours.
I kind of felt guilty for staying there so long.
we should have stood there so long.
But I didn't want to change it. I just wanted to stay.
But we heard that you're already out on your patio, so we're on our way to your lawn now.
And hopefully, by the time you get here, I'm putting into practice my Pope-style advice, which is... You guys don't get to see a lot of the behind the scenes conversations that happen at this show, but we have been, I mean, fervently talking about discipleship here for about a month, 2 months, I don't know. Like, it's every conversation that we have. We keep talking about discipleship, how, you know getting past just the setup and get into the action, you know, because we're walking through the book of Acts, you know, and like, you read the book of Acts, it's not people standing around talking about how to grow anything. It's people leaving and doing something and talking about, you know, the hope that they have. And
you know, I was thinking of us, and I think we were just talking about this last week after the show, that I always used to default to let your life preach a gospel, right? So people will look at your life, and I love this phrase. I would always say, look, you know, I don't have to go around putting it in people's face and causing confrontations that eventually down the road they will hit a patch in their life and look back on the people that they've known, and they will notice that I am different because I know Jesus Christ. And they'll wonder, what's different about that guy? And then that conversation will magically happen. And I will willingly answer the phone from a guy I haven't talked to in 10 years, and I'll say, hey, what's up? And he'll say, tell me about this Jesus. And this is the plan I had for discipleship. This was my idea, right? If I live a life that is true, and if I live a life that is, in obedience with the gospel, these are the fruit that's going to happen, right? I'm not saying that's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But at some point, you're going to have to open your mouth. You're going to have to say something. You cannot take a back seat in the car that's being driven by nobody, right? And so, like, I was playing this throughout my work week since the last show, and I thought how I always thought I do a fairly decent job because I can hide my sin from people because that's what I do, right? I can make my life look like something, you know. But the problem is the gospel fills in the gaps, right? Like, if I'm being honest and I'm being true to the Bible and the testimony, like, the parts that they don't see are the parts that I don't show them. But, like, if I tell them about the gospel, then they're going to know all those parts because the gospel is pretty stripping. You know what I'm saying? It breaks you down to the bare of what you are. And the problem is like, that's how you relate to people, right? They don't relate to a guy that looks like he's got it all put together because they've tried to have it all put together and failed at it because everyone's done that, you know? And so they're not going to relate to that. They're going to relate to a guy that says, look, I tried and I failed and I found Jesus and here's what he said to me. Here's what the Bible lays out about a God who made me, a God who loves me, who knows I'm not perfect, and decided that instead of taking me down, he was going to take his son down in my place. And I tell you what, that's an excellent place to start building a life. Here's how I got that knowledge, and here's how things are going, right? People can get down with that. You know what I'm saying? They can't get down with your holier-than-thou life that, and then magically when they're 50 go, oh, I got to change my ways. That one Mike character, he seemed like he was all right and didn't hate his wife. Maybe I should call him, you know? Come on, that's not going to happen. That's stupid. What kind of lazy man church is that? That is not discipleship. That's lazy boy discipleship. Like, I'm going to sit here and wait for people to come to me. Like John the Baptist was sitting inside of the forest going, well, I've been here 30 years. I feel like they should be here by now.
It's like
a
rent-to-own Jesus.
Yeah.
You make a payment a month until after 40 years, you're like, oh, good. Yeah. Now I get the full story.
Finally, some fruits. Man, I feel like that's an olive tree that Jesus killed. There's not a whole lot going on here. And so, that's the thing. It's like you read this, especially the book of Acts, but like you read all of Paul's letters. And John the Baptizer, he's just the flat-out businessman. But like you read these guys, and they are not shy. Their life is preaching a gospel, but it's backed up by what's coming out of their mouth. You know, and the type of guilt, you know, that even people in the Christian church tend to feel is generally, they get away with not feeling it because no one will tell them. No one will go, hey, man, your life's looking a little rough. What's going on? From what I'm seeing of the fruit that you're producing, I feel like you and Jesus are drifting apart. What's the deal, right? And if you really want to know Jesus, that question does not offend you. If you really want to be an honest community with your church family and an honest relationship with Jesus Christ, you're like, crap, even if I thought things were okay, the fact that you don't should scare me a little. I'm like, what about me is not broadcasting the love of Jesus Christ? What did you see, Fred? You know,
yeah, right.
What do I need to change?
And it's not like you're afraid that Jesus doesn't love you or that you don't have the salvation he promised, but you're missing out on joy.
Yes,
you're missing out on community, and you're missing out on connection, and you're missing out on like there's something that is causing separation between you and God, and who wouldn't want to rectify that?
A pompous man. A prideful dude that's like, I'm doing pretty good. You know, people think I'm all right. But, like, I've done that crap before. It's not a joyful life. It's exhausting.
It is absolutely exhausting to act that way. You know, I mean, you got to try to keep up this facade like you're a Jesus man, and then you're like, you're terrible at it because you're not a Jesus man. And so you're just exhausted at the end of the day because you're taking phone calls from your buddy who still steals things and takes five bags of heroin a day and likes wants you to go out and rob a car with him. And then your buddy from church calls and you're like, you want to go out to the Disciple concert? Oh, yeah, man, I love Disciple. You know, hold on, let me put my heroin buddy on hold. I feel like I got to go home. Anyway, that's my Pope style advice. You know, people love to point back to the Great Commission, and they say this is our foundation. This is where the church is built on. Except for nowhere on the Great Commission does it say get yourself a double long pew so you can get more people just in case someone might come in the door. Go get them. Yeah. Like go get them. Open your mouth and frankly double check yourself to make sure that you understand the gospel, that you know who Jesus Christ is. Because the other thing we don't need is you out there saying stuff that's not true.
Yeah. Freelancing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Doing whatever you want, because now you've led people astray by your boisterous wanderings.
We have cheapened the gospel so much that I think this is one reason so many believers don't reach out and evangelize, is they don't know what they're offering.
Yeah.
Here, say this little prayer and join my little club, you know, rather than, hey, by the way, you have to die to yourself. We kind of forget to tell people that.
Yeah.
You're dying to yourself, you're picking up your cross, you're following Jesus, or just don't even come. I mean,
people don't like that, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
They say I'm created in the image and likeness of God. God says I'm fine. What's your problem?
Yeah, exactly. God loves me just the way I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants you to die to yourself, buddy. And we're afraid to tell people
he
that.
Loved you so much the way that you are that he had to send his son to fix you. You know what I'm saying? He had to send his son to get rid of the things that you're currently dragging around.
Now, Jesus is just your crutch. No, I have to die every day. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, this weighs specifically on me quite a bit. I agree entirely when it comes to we have totally destroyed the concept of a discipleship. Where you ask the question to someone, you know, how have you gone out and you've talked to someone about Jesus Christ this week, and how have you been a light to the world? And someone says, well, I said God bless you the other day when someone sneezed.
I wore a t-shirt.
I said God bless you to someone that held the door for me. I said, oh, well, God bless you. And then they obviously understood the
You're
love of
bold,
Christ
man.
From that. And then they were coming to
open
coming
doors, a blessing from the Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
And the next guy that came in.
Exactly.
He must be a prophet.
So that's our concept of, well, what I did for discipleship this week is I said the name God to someone a couple times, and they obviously know Jesus now because I said those words. And it's absolutely ridiculous. I've asked that question to people. You know, hey, what have you done to talk to people about God this week? How have you really gone out and furthered the kingdom of God? And I've honestly got the answer. Well, I said, God bless you a couple times this week. And that's ridiculous that we've come to terms with, that's okay. That's what Jesus was asking for when he said, go forth and create, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He meant, go say God bless you to somebody a couple times this week. You're set for
that's
me.
That's totally fine.
Yeah, you know, totally fine by me.
You know what's interesting about that is, like, if you think of the parable of the sower, right? Of the different soils and stuff, we're not even making it to the soils. We got guys with junk seeds.
Yeah, we're not even picking up the bag for letting the seeds.
It's not the devil taking them and throwing them away. It's just we're just putting down bad seed.
You got you got Kingdom of God seed that needs to make it to the soil, at least to the rough soils to have a shot at it. And we're like picking up, you know, cheap Chinese plastic seeds and trying to pass it off as Kingdom seed.
You know, that might be the truth of it, though. You know, I mean, it's no wonder we got so many hard times in this world. The devil's bored to tears because no one will preach the gospel. You know, he wants to refute things. He wants to go steal the seed, but no one will do it.
His job's done for him when we don't even lay the seed.
Yeah, but we have a cool band and a light show.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to a guy at work today, because I was thinking about that when Troy was talking about, like, your lame attempts to spread the gospel, right? And I used the phrase, Jesus ain't going to put up with that crap. That was my discipleship move. And he looked at me and goes, what? And I go, man, I should have started differently. But it's true. So here's the deal, you know?
All right, I got to work with it.
I thought, man, here's the thing. He's only called me to talk to the people he knows that I know. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he knows me. He sends me where to go. So if they weren't going to put up with that stuff, he probably would have sent somebody else.
Yeah. That's true. Mike and I are going to walk around the city. He's going to say, Jesus, don't put up with that crap. And I'm going to say, God bless you to people.
God bless you.
We're going to see what happens.
Exactly.
Revival will happen in the city.
We'll hit him with a gold chain and some smoke. And then we'll put an offering plate in front
Take
of them.
That.
Hey, we'll go away for $20. Seriously. We're trying to spread the gospel to people who want to be in good soil.
$1,000, you can be an apostle.
We need more money.
Actually, okay, I thought of a good combo, fellas. Here's what you're going to do.
All right.
All right, you're going to be walking down the street. You're going to find people downtown. Mike, you're going to trip people.
Okay.
Just flat out on their face. Buva, you're going to walk up and you're going to say, here's the deal, fella. either God is not real and them's the breaks, or he's sovereign and you deserve that. You got to deal with it one way or the other.
Here's my card.
And then men will come up, don't feel guilty.
It's gonna don't dwell on that. Just move from it appropriately.
Just a hint, you're supposed to die to yourself every day. So far, you just tripped. This is a good day for
That's
you.
That's not even a start.
All you have is a scrape. Where's your cross?
All right, we're not missionaries, okay? That's okay. This is a start.
We're not the people who just walk up to random people in the city.
You can still make disciples, so because you know, I think the one thing that people miss is like you're in charge of discipling people, which includes the people in your family, the people that are next to you, your kids, your wife, your husband, whatever, whoever. Like I mean, the discipleship thing is not lost on me and Buva, right? Like. We hold each other accountable. That's our job. We disciple each other. It's who you are placed with, who God has put in your path. Just make sure that it doesn't really matter who it is. Just don't back down from it. Stop being a big pansy. Don't turn away from it. If they're in front of you and Jesus comes up, go at it. Hit it hard. What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say, oh, that guy really loves Jesus. He's a fool. They called David a fool. And he was kind of weird, but still. I mean, he made a lot more marks in the world than I'm gonna. So I see this so much in my own life, and I see this so much of the people that I know that claim to love Christ. That like we're just such a bunch of pansies. We're like vacuum salesmen. You know, they do a better job. They come in and they're like, even if it's a $3,000 vacuum, I'm like, well, I really can't afford it, but I feel like that vacuum's pretty awesome. You know, and Jesus has way more to offer. You know, and we're just so terrible at it. I just don't understand it.
Huh? You're listening to Live from the Path, coming at you every Monday night here at livefromthepath.org at 10 p.m. Also on Saturday at 7 o'clock on 99.3 KTIA. Make sure you hook up with us during the week at livefromthepath.org. You can see clips from the previous shows, including tonight's show and all the performance by Tessa Johnson, as well as full episodes. You can sign up for the podcast, check out our advertisers, check up some of the previous games that we've had on the show, and just a lot of cool stuff on the website. Make sure you go out there at livefromthepath.org. Tessa Johnson.
Hello.
Hey.
So,
tell me a little about, is All the Best, is that the next tune?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about this one.
Oh, man. Okay, so this one, all right, I need to set the premise for this one because it's quite a trip. I have, in my life, a few times been upset by the opposite gender.
Right on.
Me too. I don't know why that would ever happen.
Yeah, so this song really is just for those people who have ever gotten like just mad, specifically at guys. So yeah, it's just you just have to hear it to understand.
I'm gonna have to wait because here's the deal. I really like to take the songs that you're playing and then play them in my car later. But I feel like if I'm lamenting the fact that me and another gentleman have broken up, that it just won't have quite the pull. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean. I don't specifically say it's
dude.
A guy, but, you know, you can assume.
Do you use the word Greg or Phil?
I know,
that will
but
also
Dylan
be
a couple times.
Okay,
and,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Can you change that
no,
to Mike?
No.
Yeah. I'm parting with myself. It's the gospel. Okay, I'm ready. I'm actually pretty excited about it.
Yeah, okay. I'll play it for you.
You're listening to Tessa Johnson on Life, and you're going to be hearing All the Best.
Rejected me, but I gave it some thought, and that led me to see that the fault was yours. No, honey, that was all mine. So don't you bat an eye, 'cause this silly girl is fine. Now I'm not bitter, I'm glad that you are happy. I have all the best hopes for you, you see. I hope a girl takes your heart and tears it apart. The cops are chasing you down and your car won't start. Hope you're hitting the head with a baseball bat. I hope hope that you get attacked by a rabid cat. Hope all the things you wish never come true. 'Cause I have all the best hopes for you. Ooh, I'm so glad I finally found some peace of mind. It took some time to see your intentions were kind. It's so sweet of you to pretend that I'm not there. You're so sweet. You know that really shows me that you care. Now I'm not bitter. I'm glad that you are happy. I have all the best hopes for you, you see. I hope a girl takes your heart and tears it apart. The cops are chasing you down and your car won't start. Hope you're hit in the head with a baseball bat. I hope that you get attacked by a rabid cat. Hope all the things you wish never come true. 'Cause I have all the best hopes for you. Now I don't want you dead, baby. Just want you to hurt like you hurt me. Hope that every time you hear this song, you'll have the worst luck all day long. I hope a girl takes your heart and tears it apart. The cops are chasing you down, your car won't start. Hope you're hitting the head with a baseball bat. I hope that you get attacked by a rabid cat. Hope you trip on a rock and fall in a ditch, and then the Yankees hit you with their winning pitch. Hope you wish on a star, but it won't come true, and then you live with your mom till you're 32. Maybe I'm bitter, but you'll never know the truth. 'Cause I just want all the best for you. Ooh, all the best for you. Ooh, Thank you. Don't be scared of me. I'm not really violent.
Oh, wow. That was really sweet.
Mike, are you the silly girl in the song? Is that you?
I'm going to sing it anyway. I liked it.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I could see where the profanity could fit in.
Yeah, it's totally about
grace. You know what?
Grace.
We need to go to the gas lamp after hours. Yeah. She actually acts out the whole song at the gas
lamp. I do,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I get a volunteer from the audience.
Never volunteer. Pick me. Get the crap beat out of you.
Yeah,
that's
for
a baseball
sure.
bat for.
That's right. So is that one of the planned ones for the EP?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I really want to record that one. Mostly because a lot of my friends seem to really like it, and a lot of girls really like use it as their anthem. Like,
dang it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we need to have a dude meeting. Seriously.
We really do.
What? We need
if this is what they're talking about.
We need to draft an anthem. Yeah. You know, here's the I almost decided this week, I was going to start my own internet radio show called It's Probably the Dude's Fault with Mike.
And oh, frankly, that's awesome.
Because here's the thing. That's the only advice I'm good at. The only thing I'm good at is blaming the dude and saying, look, dude, it's probably your fault. I feel like the Bible is fairly consistent with that. And in life, I've seen pretty much that's the deal. So, frankly, we'll just use that as our theme song.
Perfect,
and,
yeah.
I mean, we already got the equipment. What do you guys – you can't stop me.
Actually, I could even – the opening will look like a –
that's Dan.
Oh. Will look like a guy running with, like, a different head. Bobbing back and forth through the neighborhood is like bad stuff happens all around him, but it's definitely his fault.
And he's got a big smile on his face, like it's no big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. You can check out this performance and our other musical performances on the YouTube channel, and I think it's YouTube/The Path Online.
Just go to livefromthepath.org.
I don't know things.
Yeah, just go to livefromthepath.org. We'll post that stuff out there.
It's probably the dude's fault with Mike will be starting to air at 2 a.m. on Tuesday mornings.
All right, Mike, people are on hard times.
Yeah.
Wait, actually, hold on. Before we get to that, I just want to remind you how you can find Tessa.
Yeah.
If you go to facebook.com/TessaJohnsonMusic or look what Live from the Path likes. If you if you like our page, look what we like because we like Tessa, and you can check her out there. Or you can get the you can go to her SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/TessaJohnson-1, and you can pick up a download of the first song that she played, which is Parachute, and keep an eye out for more stuff in the future. I'd keep both just to be handy.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd be on both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Wait, can you get the videos from us? Can you download them? Or do you just have to watch them on YouTube?
You got to watch them on YouTube. That's how YouTube makes the big money.
Oh, man.
Yep. They don't let you take it with you.
Dare, live from the path. Oh, man. In late January, my sister left a $20 bill at the front desk of my hairdresser salon and told the receptionist to give it to me when I came in and tell me it was my Christmas present. Hold on, Dan. When I objected to the impersonal manner of the gift, my sister got mad and told me I was being ridiculous. We haven't spoken since.
Woo.
Was I wrong to object?
Well, hold on. Hit me with it one more time. What's the basic premise?
It was late January.
Okay.
Her sister had not provided a Christmas gift.
Okay.
I'm assuming the gal works at a hairdresser. So she showed up, threw 20 on the receptionist desk, hey, say, give this to Linda, tell her it's her Christmas present, and then she bolted.
Oh, man, that's rough.
That's harsh.
Yeah,
what do you mean it's rough?
She said, it's, and she's wondering if she should be upset.
Well, she told her since she thought it was impersonal. And then her sister got really upset and said, you're being ridiculous.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Boova.
I would say that, yes, it was an impersonal gift. Just leaving $20 on the receptionist desk at the hairdresser you work at. And late January for a Christmas gift? You're already a month late.
I'm sorry, Queen of Persia. I didn't know it was up to your liking. It's $20 you didn't have before.
So, yes, okay, so that's one side of it. The flip side is...
The reasonable side is what I get.
Calm down. It's a Christmas gift. You haven't spoken to your family member.
It's your sister.
Yeah, because they gave you a lame Christmas gift.
It's $20. Take it and
yeah,
run.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're ridiculous. So
you'll get another $20 next year.
The first sibling, maybe you should time your Christmas gifts better and do it a little bit better than just leaving $20 a month late. Other sibling, calm down. It's a Christmas gift. Talk to your sister.
I don't know that I would have brought it up if I had some kind of fireworks sister like this who seems to get upset at the drop of a hat and make a scene at the hairdresser.
Yeah. Isn't there an assumed age here? Like, can't you just stop giving Christmas gifts to your sister? I haven't gotten Mike a gift for 10 years.
No. No, that's
true. Wow, that's terrible.
Who's that from?
I don't think I've ever given my brother a Christmas
love
gift.
Love Ben.
I said, like, I'm getting the thought that they're like 30 years old. It's like, hey, sis, here's 20 bones. I mean, keep it.
Well, here's 20 for you.
Yeah, Trey got me the notebook 2 years ago for Christmas in the $5 promo bin that is still in the $5 promo case. Thank you very much for Christmas. And I think I got him a TMNT figure for like $1 at the DAV.
Nice.
That's the only Christmas gifts I've gotten from my brother ever.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of silly.
It's ridiculous.
What was the overall advice, Ed?
Well, hold on. Tessa, what are your thoughts here?
Well, for me...
Yeah, you know, ladies. Go ahead.
Yeah, Christmas is like a big thing for my family. So we all buy gifts for each other, and we have a great time doing it. It's like the most exciting part is giving someone a gift. So we all get really excited about gifts, and honestly, if my sister just like dropped off $20 at my work a month late and was like, here's your Christmas present, I'd be like, really? I wouldn't stop talking to her, but I'd be like, that was awful.
Wouldn't you assume that you'd seen her at Christmas and the gift had not been exchanged?
Yeah,
and so it was kind of a given.
That's the weird part. I mean, but think about it. If this person had said, I'm sorry, I didn't know what to get you. I got you. I just am going to give you $20 and let you get what you want and say it face to face nicely. Could have solved the whole thing.
That's true.
I think they have deeper issues. There's something going on.
Clearly,
if they loved each other, she would have folded it like a paper airplane and threw it at her.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you know there's love.
Way cooler, yeah.
Here's what Secular has to say. Obviously, you and your sister aren't close. If she didn't even bother to enclose the money with a card or note, I don't blame you for being miffed.
Really?
I haven't been miffed in years.
I got a little miffy the other day.
Yeah, I gave it up. Particularly if you customarily exchange gifts. That was helpful advice.
Wait, was that it?
That was it.
Wow. There was no poor advice. Gal's just leaving like... empty.
That girl's going to be miffed about that advice. That's
she
terrible.
Just might be.
You
that's
seem
awful.
Upset. You may or may not have a reason to be. Next question.
I see that you could possibly be upset.
Okay.
So let's move on.
The advice is she needs to get over herself.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
A relationship's worth more than $20.
Depends on the relationship.
This cannot be the first time this behavior has presented itself. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No.
This is piling on.
And I use the example all the time, but like at some point my wife has to stop being surprised that I left my socks in the living room. Like it may still be a problem, but it is certainly not a surprise. And so you got to give up on this. I can't believe you did that. Yes, you can. You've seen it many times before.
Personal vendetta against the behavior that keeps happening. Yes.
All right, go ahead, Mike.
Dear Life from the Path, I am fed up with my father's hoarding ways. Junk is piled everywhere, and our cat has twice gotten hurt in the piles.
That's not so bad.
Those cats are pretty nimble. If there is a spare corner, junk is thrown in it. When I try to say anything, Dad gets defensive over his stuff, and my mother defends his pack rat ways. She says they are his things, not mine. I'm extremely embarrassed when friends, relatives, or neighbors visit. I have offered to help clean, but he refuses to get rid of anything. What do you do when someone doesn't believe this is a problem?
Move out. Are you still living there?
Yeah.
I believe you called the DIY Network. Who is it that does that hoarding show?
Oh, yeah.
Hoarder. It's none of your business.
It's TLC.
Hey, man, I don't sound like a health issue. You just don't like clutter. I'd ask you.
The cat was injured, Mike.
The cat.
There could very easily be a health
issue. Injured.
You can't injure a cat.
No.
They have 9 lives.
That's why I feel like this is made up. I've seen some cats navigate some pretty rough terrain.
Yeah.
Like when I physically threw one about 10 feet. He was fine. He was fine.
It's on Facebook.
I'm having trouble identifying the age range of this person. Like, doesn't it seem like they're 24, living at their house, inviting friends over?
Yeah,
I'm embarrassed for my parents when friends and family come over.
Actually, that is kind of funny to imagine the 40-year-old man saying, "Look, dude, sorry, my parents' place is such a mess."
Can we get some Cheetos and soda pop, please?
Dad, can you hide the injured cats? I'm bringing a lady home.
Mom, can you throw in a couple pizza bagels? I got a couple people coming over.
The cat comes limping by. Meow. Dang it.
Don't go in the spare bedroom. Oh,
that's our cat, ER. Don't go in there.
Don't find a spare corner. Stuff will get thrown on you, man.
He got caught in the toaster cemetery. I haven't seen him for a week.
Is that a tractor in there? Yeah, don't worry about it. Dad says it's his stuff.
I like the mom. It's his stuff. You don't worry about it.
I'm sure. It's her house. But yeah, totally.
I feel like mom and dad are like, you don't like the clutter, get out.
Yeah.
What are you, 60? Leave.
I feel like that's reasonable. I mean, like, what if your mom collects Precious Moments or something and you really hate Precious Moments figurines? It's not like they're going to chuck them. They're going to be like, I'm not moving them. You get out of here.
What if the whole hoarding thing is just like a plot to get the kid out of the house?
Yeah,
like,
that's
what
true.
If,
that's
and then
true.
They leave and it's spotless. It's like,
I've been here for 30 years. Get out now.
We started this when you were 3. We realized you get on our nerves.
Clean when you get an apartment. Go.
We had to assault 2 cats to pull this off.
Don't worry.
That's how difficult it is to do.
Don't worry. We got them from the euthanasia pile. They're actually animatronics that your dad built with his junk.
Go Chuck E. Cheese bang. So
our advice is to move out.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Now, here's the deal. Like, I mean, you watch some of those people with, like, some real hoarding issues.
Right.
If you think it's, like, a health problem or something, then, you know, I don't know how to stage an intervention against my old man. He's loaded with junk. I feel like he's got way more ammo than me. I'm going to bring a psychologist in there, and he's going to throw stuff at him, and it'll be over. But, yeah. I mean, if it's just that you're annoyed by crap, you better leave.
You're way easier to hit than a cat.
Put my new cats and you're nothing.
Put my newspaper down.
Secular says...
You want a toaster?
Secular says, there's nothing you can say that will fix your father's problem because it's a psychological disorder. Lame. Even if he was willing to do something about his hoarding, it would take the assistance of a mental health professional and a support group to help him let go of his stuff because it would be like letting go a part of himself. If you're still living at home with your parents, all you can do is keep your own space as neat and organized as possible and do not allow your father's problem to affect your self-esteem. Once you can afford to live on your own...
Self-esteem.
My self-worth is based upon my dad's hoarding tendencies. I'm valuable as a man. Look at that stack of cats.
After you move out on your own, Your father's hoarding, if it continues to the point it becomes a danger to your parents' health or a fire hazard, quietly notify the fire department or health department, which then may be able to intervene. Like, they're going to have no idea how that happened, right? Excuse me, we're the fire department. We heard you're a hoarder. From who? There's only been one other person in here in the last 20 years.
The other three guys that came in didn't come out.
The cat told me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're still in the living room somewhere.
Can't you see the kids showing back up? Hey, Dad, what's up? Oh, fire department. Whoa, what happened?
What's this mental health authority doing here?
That's weird. Here's 20 bucks. Take them away.
All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. If you guys are hanging out on the podcast, there's still just a little more show here for you. A free bonus content.
It's kind of heavy coming up.
Oh, it's a heavy one.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Tough. Oh, okay. Hey, now might be the time to sign up for the podcast if you're just that curious. If you're on 99.3 KTIA, I've got to let you go because we only pay for so much time. Make sure to check out the website. Go to lifeandpath.org. Make sure to go and check out what Tessa has going on. Check out her Facebook page. Go out to the gas lamp. Thank you for listening to The Life from the Path.
Everyone else is rocking. That's it? Your self-esteem should be linked to your dance moves.
Okay, what you got, Mike?
Dear Life from the Path. My husband and I had a beautiful baby boy 4 months ago. Since then, he has admitted that he married me only to have a child. My husband says he cares for me, but he's not in love with me. Still, he provides for all my needs, and I don't want a divorce. I know I'll be happy enough. My friend is telling me I am doing a disservice to my little one because he will never learn to love a woman. Am I harming my baby?
Wow.
You weren't kidding.
Buzzkill. This is hard.
I missed it.
What were you doing?
I was reading. There was riffraff on the chat, and Boova typed something into his phone and showed it to me like a secret.
Do you want to hear it again?
Yeah, sorry.
I wanted to mess him up.
My husband and I had a beautiful baby boy 4 months ago. Since then, he has admitted that he married me only to have a child. Huh? My husband says he cares for me, but he's not in love with me. Still, he provides for all my needs, and I don't want a divorce. I know I'll be happy enough. My friend is telling me I'm doing a disservice to my little one because he will never learn to love a woman. Am I harming my baby?
All right. Forget your friend. Here's the deal. You're married. You have a child. You're in a covenant, a lifelong covenant you've made between God and your spouse. If you don't know yet God yet, then this is a good time to introduce you to God. But guess what? If it's your job then to turn the fire up. I mean, you just be the most passionate, wonderful, loving spouse that will draw the love of your other. It's the woman, right, who's writing the letter.
Yeah.
Show that man what it's like to be in love with someone, and whatever that means, whatever his thing is, you know, his love language. If you go, who wrote that book? I don't even remember. But it doesn't matter. You just be the best wife, absolutely humanly possible, and put your faith in Christ and live for him, and hopefully the husband will too, and the husband will respond eventually. I mean, he's got to learn it too. We all got to learn this stuff. We got to learn how to love.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the husband has room to mature. He made some kind of goofy decision of marrying a woman just to have a baby. Like, he's got room to grow, which means it's possible for him to grow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's over. I don't think it's true to say that it will be an example of not knowing how to love a woman. To be honest with you, like, most people come to that pretty naturally. It's the mechanics of the marriage where they struggle, like the barriers where their love for someone else meets their own selfishness, and they don't know how to handle that. That's a lot of marital strife, right? So you can't teach. You can demonstrate love for your kids. I get that, but I don't. It's probably not enough to ruin them because, like, the stuff that you're missing in that, like, right now that you're missing, those kids probably don't see anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, it's certainly not ideal, but I don't know. Mike, you don't agree?
I don't know. I'm just mad at the guy. It's probably the dude's fault. It's definitely the dude's fault.
He's a lazy bum.
Here's the reason, like, whether he's a Christian or not, this is why the Bible describes, you know, your order of relationships being Jesus, then your wife, then your kids. Because they get they get fouled up like this, it destroys marriages, which in turn destroys the household that the kid was to be brought up in. And it just makes it really hard. I mean, because frankly, the husband-wife relationship is a metaphor for the Jesus and the church, the bride relationship, right? It just makes all the examples in the Bible come in perspective. If you've seen a marriage that is being, you know, as Christ loved the church, not only does your example of what a marriage should look like looks better and makes more sense to you, but the example of where they call the church the bride of Christ and how Jesus, how much he sacrificed himself for his bride, that metaphor starts to make a lot more sense, right? And this, I can't imagine the type of conniving jerk that you have to be to take a woman's life basically away from her to selfishly gain a child that you obviously don't know how to love, because you conned your way into stealing affection from a woman, right? Like, you just have no capacity to think beyond yourself. I don't know anyone that has had kids, unless they're just a terrible parent, that thinks after about 3 months that it has anything to do with you. Your life is done starting when those kids show up, right? Even if you don't want it to be. Like, you physically, that's it. You're done. You're attached to whatever that kid's doing, you're doing. And whatever glory you thought it was going to bring you, or whatever affection you thought you were going to gain by making a little person, not going to be there in an honest form for another 8 years. You know, up until they're like 7 or 8, all they can do is ask and whine and steal things from you and draw on your walls and try to take your car for a spin when they're 6 and cause you money and problems.
Then they ask for college tuition.
Yeah, and they're like, by the way, you're paying for me to go to school. You should get another job, old man. You know, like, it's a terribly... immature adolescent thought process,
yeah.
and frankly, one of the more selfish moves I've heard out of a guy.
And to be honest, they both appear to be content with their relationship. Her concern is for the child. The child's going to be fine. They need to start working on it. She needs to start for that contentment and then build some passion in the marriage and some momentum in their relationship by focusing, number one, on God, being a godly wife, godly spouse, and hopefully the husband will respond to that as well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like their contentment right now just shows their, and frankly, a lot of people are the same way. If you take the walk of a Christian and you take the end game out of it, the salvation part, frankly, without Jesus Christ, you're just missing God-sized joy. You have person-sized joy, right? And so, like, they have the same thing. She doesn't know what she's missing out on. Maybe her parents didn't have a good marriage, or none of her friends do, or whatever. But I've seen good marriages, and they are awesome.
Oh yeah,
to watch, right?
Because what they have said out loud is what. Thousands and thousands of couples are living out, and they don't even know it. They haven't realized it themselves. There are tons of couples, and I've seen them so often, who they get married and they kind of lose themselves in their career, their life, whatever, and the children, they just kind of coexist, you know, and they're doing the kid stuff. And then the kids graduate, and all they're like, I don't know who you are, and they get divorced. I mean, it happens all the time, and it's because they have not kept a healthy relationship. So she needs to let the child not come between her and her husband. She needs to work on that relationship. And it's an uphill battle. It'll be an uphill battle, but it's worth it.
It's probably a humbling battle as well. Yeah. Well, on both sides. Tessa?
Oh, well.
You weren't paying attention, were you?
No, I was definitely, I'm sorry, like a huge moth or something like.
You were singing your song.
Nosedive. Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry you're having marital problems, but there's a moth in here.
I hope you find a rabid cat.
Okay, well, moving on from the moth, Yeah, I think that, honestly, they just need God in their relationship because, I mean, their problems are never going to be fully solved until they have a foundation in Christ. And it just sounds like two people who are just settling, and they could have a great marriage. And now that they're in it, they shouldn't just give up because they made a promise. But I think that they just need to seek God through it all and build a foundation on Christ rather than on, well, I'll be content with you, so that's fine.
Yeah, financial security sucks because it can't be counted upon.
No.
Right, Booba?
Right.
Here's what the secular has to say. Man, I should have done that one first and hit to Junk Man later. Junk Man's uplifting.
Yeah.
I can't, secular says, I can't see how you are harming your child. If you are a loving, attentive mother, your baby will love you unconditionally. Your friend may feel you are shortchanging yourself because she doesn't understand that you're willing to settle for financial security and forego romantic love. However, if you are truly happy with this arrangement, your friend should be less judgmental. Wow, I couldn't disagree with that anymore.
Wow.
You could really have to hate a guy not to say, hey, look, you're really missing out on joy. Hey, that's not what God designed marriage to be. hey, it looks like you're struggling over there.
It's the same. It's the same conflation, right? Guilt and judgment. Say it's same problem. Hey, stop judging me. I just said that it, like, there's truth. Truth. The judgment is on your end, right? You hear truth and then you assign something to it, some kind of motivation for, like, condemnation. When, like, again, you have the choice: condemnation, restoration. Condemnation, restoration. Truth is the thing that separates, or is the thing that leads both of those. It's you that add the connotation to it. That's not judgment. It's good. It's wise counsel. Someone that loves you.
I feel like you stared me down when you
did
that.
I did. Yeah. I'm tired of your business, Booba.
Fair enough.
You turn into a moth again and harass Tess, I'm throwing you out.
I'm sorry. Wow.
I literally don't know where it went. It disappeared.
I'm back over here.
Wow.
I'm like a moth wizard.
I'm like a moth wizard.
There's also an almond over here on the floor.
That's actually to attract
moths. If anyone
moths.
Wants it. So.
Yeah, we were trying to get a raccoon in here to get the moths out.
We're trying to get a rabbit cat.
Wait a minute.
Nothing worked.
Fruit and nuts. That's not our style. Someone's been in here.
Hey, you seen any healthy people around here?
Where's the pizza?
Yeah. We look for pizza, donuts, and soda. That was us.
You got time for one more?
Yeah, you can do one more.
All right. Dear Life from the Path, my father-in-law is considering having my two precious little girls' names tattooed on his arm. I'm not a fan of tattoos and would prefer my daughter's names not be displayed in this manner. Do my husband and I have a right to ask him not to do this? Our history with him hasn't been the most pleasant because he can be manipulative and hard to deal with. I'm afraid if we tell him we are opposed, it will encourage him all the more to get the tattoo. How should we approach this without causing a ruckus?
Two things. Did you say husband? Because that's totally what it sounds like.
You definitely did.
That's how it read.
Okay.
Here's the deal. This phrase will never come out of my mouth again, likely in any other context. His body, his choice. Let him get the tattoo.
Just let him get the tattoo. Why is it such a big deal?
It's not even a let him. He's going to do what he wants to do. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
You and your husband can do nothing about it. Your father-in-law is going to get the tattoo. Let him get the tattoo. If he honestly loves your girls, and that's how he wants to do a tribute to them, I'm sure he's not doing it like, oh, check this out. I'm pretty sweet, and I got two girls' names on me. It's my granddaughter.
Well, I can't understand what kind of social circles that they think that people are going to look at it and go, Becky and Linda? You mean Becky and Linda Schwartz? I know them. Aren't they like 7 and 8?
This is appalling.
I run into them at the Y all
That's
the time.
A sweet tattoo, man.
By the way, it's weird that I ran into your father-in-law, who's bound to be 60, 70, that you got the same social circles, that people are going to know the difference. I think you got to let them do it.
Yeah.
I'm not fond of tattoos, so I don't want my daughter's names represented. Oh, my gosh. Deal with it. Yeah.
Here's the deal. I don't care much for embroidery, cross stitch, right? But I let my grandma alone.
I'm not a big fan of bumper stickers, but if I see my kid's name on a bumper sticker, I'm not going to be like, hey.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Go to the mall and attack the guy with the license plates? How dare you? How dare you put my kid's name?
How dare you do that?
Boy, that's what a crappy way to spend your time.
Yeah.
Caring about that.
Her and her hood.
That's how it jumped off at the page of me. What do you want me to say? I think that's, hold on. You want to hear Secular's advice?
Secular, let's have it.
Secular says, you can offer your opinion, but there's no way you and your husband can control what he does with his body. You're right on with the Secular, Ben. Mm-hmm. Because the subject has already come up for discussion, it would not be rude to raise it again and explain nicely that if he hasn't done it yet, you would prefer the girls' names not be displayed that way. Of course, the decision is his to make, and while it may not be to your liking, I'm sure your father-in-law considers it to be a loving gesture and a sign, literally, that he's proud of his granddaughters. If the tattoo has already been applied, then please, for the sake of the family harmony, try to view it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. That's just ridiculous. The thing blows me away. What do people think the whole world centers around them? Yeah. It's like, what, are they the only two children on Earth but that name or something?
If it was more specific? What if I got a tattoo that said, Dan Hudson is a heretic?
Hey, people put my name on their body all the time. I don't care. I just don't care.
I can't stop them.
I've got this magnetism about me, and it just happens. It's like, whatever.
Now, hold on. Is there some kind of law where I can't have slanderous statements tattooed on myself? Can they sue me to have them removed?
They can't prove that you're talking about that specific Dan Hudson. It could be an imaginary friend or just a phrase that you enjoy.
What if you get, like, the personal ID tattooed on your calf or something like that? Like the state-issued license.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
You get like the license, their picture license, everything about it, the driver's license number, the home address, the signature.
So wait, okay.
Get that tattooed on
you. You tattooed Dan's driver's license on your back.
Right.
Then you'd have to go with me all the time to show my ID.
Hey, man, you get into this club, give me a second.
Show me to the Michelob. I can get it.
I brought the party with me.
This license never expires.
I mean, like, it seems to me like the News of the World gets away with this crap. So if I wanted to, like, tattoo on my back, Tom Cruise has two butts. I mean, is that slanderous? Can they sue me for that, or can I just do what I want?
I thought a public figure, you can do about anything you want.
Yeah.
Because they're probably a public figure.
Dan, are you a public figure by
chance?
I don't
think I'm that public. I got a Facebook account, though, and people creep me.
All right. That two butts really ended the show. We're going to have to shut her down.
Thanks, Mike.
Ben says butt all the time. Why do I get in trouble?
You've been listening live from the Path. Hey, brought to you by the Eisenhower team and Westfield Veterinary Hospital. Thanks for both of those guys for supporting the show. Make sure you give them a call. Take your cat in. He's been injured by your hoarding father. Take him to the veterinary hospital and then sell your place with Bob Eisenhower and the Eisenhower team. Thank you to Tessa Johnson for coming in. Great to see you. Make sure you check her out, The Gas Lamp. Go to her Facebook page and see where she's going and follow her around, creepy style, because she's following you. Yeah, thanks for listening to Life from the Path. Have a wonderful week.